Tonight we want to draw our attention together at Mark chapter 2. You know, we talked about so far and, you know, by way of reminder, I know we've been taken in a lot. Again, though, we've been learning about the authority of God. We've been learning about the mission that we have to make disciples of all nations, right? You should know this verse by heart. By the time you go to sleep and wake up this week and go about life, it's like, hey, if I don't remember no other verse in the Bible, like, hey, I remember that. And then, lo, he is with us always, even to the ends of the earth or the age. And so that, and then, again, we've been talking about prayer life and a time, spending time in the Word of God. And tonight, we want to pull it all together because he is with us. We are to not just have faith mentally, but active faith. And just want to encourage us tonight. Remember, the Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God. And so we've been hearing a lot of word this conference, right? And so tonight we look together at chapter 2, verse 1, and it says, and again, speaking of Jesus, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Say, in the house. He was in the house, right? And we look at this first verse, and, you know, it's pretty incredible to me. First of all, Jesus gone away. If you look from chapter 1 into chapter 2, there's a series of events that take place, but he's now back in the house. What house? Maybe by chapter 1 you see there, the last time he left a house in Capernaum is probably Peter's house. And it says here, look, hey, that he comes back into this place, and after some days, that could be a few months after you look at the events that took place, but he says here, the mere fact is that Jesus is in the house. And you know, as you look at your own life, the first thing we want to ask is, hey, is Jesus in my house? You know, is Jesus in your house? Maybe you know, you don't have Christian parents. Or maybe you do. But is he in your house? Because remember, we are to be thermostats, right? We set the tone. And so in our house, we want to set the tone. You know, if the neighbor is looking, because it says here that it was heard that he was in the house. You know, when I was growing up, they had a TV show called 227. And there was a lady named Mrs. Johnson. And Mrs. Johnson would hang at her little windowsill and tell you everything that was going on in the neighborhood. You know, maybe you know somebody like Mrs. Johnson. Maybe they named something else. You know, for my building, it was Miss Odessa. Miss Odessa always had a little pillow by the windowsill, and she look up and down the block. You like, man, like, go away, because, like, you know, you couldn't sneak nobody in the building. You couldn't do anything, because, hey, I'm telling your mother when you should get home. Like, mind your business. But here it says, look, it was noised. It was told abroad that Jesus was in the house. And you see, when we allow Jesus to be in our house, praise the Lord, that's the best noise that can get out. Jesus is in your house. There's some adults here, right? And even as the young ones grow up, you have the opportunity, hey, to say, hey, in my house, as for me in my house, like Joshua said, hey, we will serve the Lord. Not we may, or not just on Sunday, or not just on midweek Bible study, but in my house. Jesus is in my house. How does that look today? Well, when you turn on the TV, is Jesus in your house? You know, or is it like, hey, man, I hear all of that, but I just want to watch this. Ain't nothing wrong with this reality show. You know, like, look, when your parents are not around, is he in your room? To say, hey, you know what, I know they're not around, but you know, because he's in my house, and he's in the house of my heart, you know what? I'm not going to watch this. I'm not going to go there with this. And so here, you look at this here, you see that first things first, Jesus is in the house here. And notice what it says here. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Now, if you look at this, first of all, it's saying, hey, immediately many gathered. You think about that. You imagine your church was like that. That so much people were coming because, you know, and they say, hey, you know what? There's a fire hazard here. Ain't nobody else can come up in here. You imagine, hey, if it looked kind of like this on a regular Sunday in here, people sitting all on the side and up and down, you know, like there's no more room. I know sometimes the club is like that, but I know many times the church is not. You know, imagine your prayer meeting looked like that. Like, man, there was no more room because Jesus was there. Man, that'd be a world changer, wouldn't it? And here, as you look at this here, look, notice what's happening here. Hey, it says there was not even no room, even at the door. You know, that looked like, get off my back. But it says here that many gathered there together. And I'll tell you what, when many people gather, there's many reasons. And you'll see throughout when we go through this that there's people gathering for all kinds of reasons. Just like we learned before, there were many people following Jesus for many kind of reasons. And here, look here, notice what it says here. It says, Jesus preached the what? The word. You know, we can't get away from that. It's real simple. People need the word. And here in this passage here, there's two different Greek words that bring about this thought. The first one would be the idea of the proclamation, the proclaiming. But here, it's not speaking of that here. It brings about just in a conversational tone. I want to read something that A.T. Roberts said. He said, the beautiful voice of Jesus, the charm of his manner, and the tenderness and love of his countenance must have come to this weary, sick group of people as a breath from heaven. You think about that. As Jesus sat or hung out in that house, and people came with all kinds of stuff, with all kinds of reasons, and how Jesus just talked to them. And here, as you look at this here, notice what it says here. It said, then, verse 3, they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by what? Four men. Not the foreman, but four men. And it says, and when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Now here is what we want to talk about. Where we're starting to look at ourselves in our act of faith and living in active faith. Not just, hey, another story. Like Brian said, you know, another passage, another account. But this is real life. And this is part of your life. This is part of my life. Here it says, look, hey, you know what? Hey, we come bringing a paralytic. These guys here, they came bringing a paralytic. There was four guys. It may have been more than that, but four of them were carrying this guy. Now, I want you to think about it. When you're paralyzed, can you carry yourself? You need somebody, right? I want you to think about one person that you may think of that's paralyzed. Maybe not physically, but somebody spiritually paralyzed. Just that one person, I want you to write their name down, whoever it is. Just write it down on your paper. Just write it down. Hey, if you can memorize it, hey, memorize it. Write it on your heart. Remember this here. Look, hey, there are four folks carrying this paralyzed individual. And notice what happens. They come to the house where Jesus was at, and it says, they could not get near to Jesus. Why? What does your Bible say? Because of the crowd. What's the crowd? Why can't you? That's right. Say it loud. You can say it loud. The world. Anybody else got any thoughts about what the crowd is? What's the crowd? You can yell it out. I'm okay with that. Sinners? Distractions? Huh? Somebody said church. I think I heard somebody say church. It could be. Media culture, right? Social media. It's crowds. It's crowds. Crowd of people. Some people don't like being alone. Got to have a crowd of people around. It's crowds, you know? And here, as you think about this here, look, hey, they want to bring him to Jesus, but there's a crowd that is the preventing, the barrier from going through the door, at least. Well, you look at here, it's pretty interesting because each one of us are going to have to meet a crossroad in order to get to Jesus. And when you see this here, look, they decided, look, it says because of the crowd, these guys, I don't know if you're into construction or anything like that, but these guys, it says, they went and uncovered the roof. Uncovered the roof? You saying that couldn't be my daddy's house. My daddy would have went outside and gave somebody the business. Look, 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 think about this. This is Jesus speaking to these people, remember, in a conversational tone. Jesus was having a Bible study. You interrupting Jesus' Bible study? You got a lot of nerve. Let alone somebody's house, you tearing off the roof if it rains. You know, you going to get a blue tarp and put over that thing. Hey, I'll go to Home Depot real quick for you. Take care of that. We'll come back and send the carpenters later on. You just think like, hey, if that was happening here, just think about if you were here right now and then all of a sudden this thing started, crumbs started falling down and stuff. What would be your attitude? Oh, come on, welcome. No, that wouldn't be the attitude. It'd be like, hey, Mike, get somebody out there, take care of this. Hey, we got a word to share. But here, and you look at this, it's like they see the crowd. But they saying, man, you know what? I got to think outside the box because my friend, he's paralyzed. I know what Jesus could do if we get him to Jesus. And I believe that about, hey, the people that I encounter, when they all whacked out, you know, when their faces is all tatted up, you know, and it's not even good artwork. Like, you're looking like, man. And you can't get a job at Starbucks. You can't get a job at, you can't even get a job taking a trash, you know, picking up people's trash, looking like that. Nobody want to interview you looking like that. What did you do to yourself? I'm talking about 14-year-old kids. I'm thinking of people that I know personally right now, little young kids. Hey, it looked like somebody just took ink and just started going like this on their face. Like, it don't look like no machine did that. It's terrible. But you know what? That can look like all of this outwardly. But if we would say, hey, you know what? If I get that individual to Jesus, I know things can change. I know something can turn. Maybe his tattoos are not going away unless, you know, some charity says, hey, I know how to do the surgery to get that off. You know what? But maybe it'll just look like that. But on the inside, his heart is going to be changed. He'll no longer try to have a bootleg version of what Lil Wayne looks like, you know, but maybe he'll look like somebody else. He'll look like Jesus if I can get him to him. And so I'm willing to say, you know what? Hey, the crowd is here, but you know what? Not too many people hanging out on the roof. It doesn't say these guys came prepared with tools. It also doesn't say how wide the hole was. Now, if you paralyzed, you got to trust some friends. All you can do is... That's all you can really do with that, right? You maybe say a word, hey! Well, you ain't going to do too much more. Nothing to hold on to. And you look here, and it says simply here, look, it says, so when they had a breakthrough... You know, you can look and go around some churches. Oh, they always talking about, I got to get my breakthrough. You know, maybe some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Hey, you know, I got to get my breakthrough. You know, I got this thing on. I got this thing, you know. I was just talking to somebody. They said, hey, their son was at a camp, and he said he had a breakthrough. It was just, hey, eating what? Cheese, you know, grilled cheeseburgers or grilled cheese sandwiches. He had a breakthrough. But here, look at this. Yeah, I know. That's interesting, right? That was his breakthrough. Leave him alone. Leave the young fella alone. He overcame me and cheese, man. Leave that kid alone. One of my sons done crazy about cheese. I'm saying, how you gonna eat that, man? But look, how far are you willing to go to get to Jesus? To get your friends to Jesus? That one person you wrote down that's paralyzed, how far are you willing to go? Are you willing to go beyond the exterior? Are you willing to go beyond the surface? Look here, they tore that roof off, and they had a breakthrough, and notice what happens here. It says, they lowered down the bed on which the paralytic was lying, and this is what I want you to write and underline. Jesus did what? He saw their faith. It doesn't say that he heard their faith. He said that he saw their faith. Notice here that faith must have been what? Active. We see it, right? They ripped off the roof. And they lowered the paralytic down. Think about this. If the hole was, you know, just maybe enough to get your shoulders through, you know, the brother is going down head first, maybe feet first. I don't know. Maybe they wrapped a rope around him, saran wrap. I don't know. But think about this, right? But the other side is if maybe, hey, they had time to rip out a whole body length. I don't know. Maybe they put a skylight in the house afterwards. I don't know. It doesn't tell me all that. But the point is that Jesus saw those brothers, those four, their faith. You see, I just have to ask the question, are you willing to bear one another's burdens as the Bible tells us so? Because it says when you do that, you fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Romans chapter 15, verse 1 says those who are strong or powerful ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, in other words, powerless, and not to please themselves. Are you more concerned about what people think about you than telling them the message that will transform and change their eternal destiny? When you look here, simply seeing, look, hey, you know what? Hey, guy, you're paralyzed, but I know I can get you to somebody that can take care of all of that. Now, as you look with me, verse 5 says, Jesus saw in their faith, and he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are, note that, forgiven you. He didn't say he had to perform anything. He didn't get up yet or anything like that. It says, your sins are forgiven. And here, notice what it says here. He says, not only are your sins are forgiven, but he says, and some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? You know, what's pretty interesting to me is that those scribes were right there. That means they came to the house early. They got in early, or they must have had some kind of VIP pass or something. But it's pretty interesting to me that Jesus says, your sins are forgiven you. And you, if you're one of the friends, you say, hey, I didn't bring him here for that. After all, he's paralyzed. I want to see him healed. Well, I want you to see something here. Jesus works from the inside out. He wants to work in the heart of individuals first. And as we learned before, we sit with people. We tell them the truth. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful is the kiss of an enemy. Tell them the truth. You know when you want somebody to tell you the truth? Think about this. Hey, you know, I often reference this, but, you know, I remember where I was at on September 11th. You know, I had a family member that just happened to be going and get a bagel when one of the planes struck the building. That worked in the building. My dad actually used to work in that building, but he used to work early, and he was out and gone. But now think about this here. If you worked in that building and you had the information that those planes were going to hit that building, and say you worked in some place like Windows of the World and you had other friends there, would you just say, well, I got that information. Sorry. See you later. Hey, boss, I'm calling out today. Not going to be able to make it because I'm actually sick. Or would you be standing there telling people, hey, don't go to work. Hey, you know what's going to happen today? Don't go there. What would you do? The right thing, you know, the right thing to do at least, right? Tell somebody. But it's the same thing with eternity. People are dying every day, every minute, spending time in eternal hell. They're gone. How many of us here literally believe in an eternal hell? Some people don't, you know, it's here, but really in our hearts, do we really believe that? And there are people going there. And we can't assume that somebody's going to live, hey, 10 more years or whatever. And those of you who have been walking with Christ young, I'm sure you would testify and say, man, thank you, Lord, for saving me at a young age. I wish I had that story. God would have, you know, if I would have just listened, you know, I showed up to church at 5 years old. They brought me to church. I, you know, went to the altar at 11, but I didn't surrender till 22 years old. And there was a lot of stuff in between that time that I could have avoided if I would have just listened. And here, look, when you think about this here, Jesus says your sins are forgiven you. To a paralyzed individual. And it says in verse 6, describes there, they're reasoning in their heart and they want to know why and who in the world is this man to speak blasphemies like this. Only God could forgive sins. Well, watch what happens here, verses 8 through 10. It says, but immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed, and walk. Take note of this. But that you may know that the Son of Man has the power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Notice what's happening here. First of all, Jesus sees the scribes reasoning within himself. And so he says, look, hey, why are you reasoning your heart? That's not your issue. Mind your business. You know, we get caught up like that, right? Oh, look at that person over there. You know, maybe it's the guy I'm talking about with the tattoos all over his face. You see him standing next to you worshiping. You're like, really? You're saved? You know, I tell you, somebody invited me to a barbecue one time, right? And they said, hey, this is Pastor Ray. This is the first person's response. What are you doing with those tattoos on your arm? I scratch, you know, do I just react or do I respond? So I said, first of all, I wasn't born a pastor. Secondly, I wasn't born saved. You want to go third? Look, you get tattooed, that's your business. I personally can walk with the story that, hey, you know what, I haven't got tattoos after I've been saved. Why? Not because I would get them. But it may mess somebody else up. And I can just say, hey, you know what? All my ink is before Christ. That's what I can say. I don't fault or care even much. And like I said, If it was me and didn't have to be accountable to people like that, hey, what are you doing with tattoos? Shut up. Mind your business, scribe. Yeah, people trip out on the non-essential stuff. Look, if somebody, if like Jesus is saying, hey, your sins are forgiven, you, wouldn't you just be like, yeah, man, I need my sins forgiven. Rejoice with that person. Say, yeah, that's great. Should be. Well, you see, we tend to think there's no more grace cookies available. Like, oh, no, the last one ran out when me. I got that one. Well, we come so far that we so removed, we forget that there's grace still available. The blood that was shed upon the cross is still available for anyone. I don't care how dirty or how clean your life may look. Hey, you know what? There's still space available at the cross. And Jesus still changes lives when we bring people to Jesus. Not to the church, not to this thing, not to that thing, but he bring them to Jesus. And here, notice, hey, if you're not going to bring, hey, you know what? Mike, you're here? Hey, bring them to Mike. Mike, give them Jesus. Bring them to your youth leader. Mike will bring them, your youth leader will bring them to Jesus. Right? I get high on that stuff. I used to. Oh, yeah, we all. Sorry, Lord. I get excited about people getting their lives to the Lord. That's what I'm trying to say. And so here, look. He's saying here, which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or get up, take up, and walk. What's easier? Jesus could have said that, never showed anybody anything, right? But he says here, and I think this is the key, that you may know. That they may know. Here he says, look, that you may know that the Son of Man has the authority, the power. Remember, the authority. Hey, he has all authority in heaven and in earth. And even in that house, he was under the control of everything that was going to change this man's life inside and out. And so here, when you look at this here, he says, hey, your sins are forgiven. He says to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And here, look, this is what I want to encourage us with as we bring this full circle. Maybe some of you guys here today, you know somebody that's paralyzed, but maybe you are paralyzed. Maybe you're paralyzed in one area. You're saved, you know. But maybe there's an area of your life that's paralyzed. And that's where brothers and sisters can come in. If you would just open up and share. And I ain't say a teller to the world, but hey, you can get a brother or a sister that you know that will build you up and strengthen you in the things of God and bring you to the Lord and say, hey, you know what? I need prayer in this. I'm paralyzed here. Let me give you a few that you may be paralyzed in. We talked about prayer. You may be paralyzed in your prayer life. We talked about, well, we didn't talk about this, but pride. We may be paralyzed with pride. You know, not only that, you might be paralyzed in the area of having power. I got to be the one in authority. I got to be the one in control. You know, it's not just limited to that, but you may be paralyzed by wanting to be a people pleaser all the time. You ready? Put your seatbelt on. You know where we're going with this, right? You may be paralyzed by pornography. Yes, even the church. Yes, not just guys, but even ladies. It's out there. And it paralyzes us from being effective witnesses. And I want to encourage you, look, hey, if you're paralyzed there, go and talk to somebody. The blood that was shed upon the cross was shed for that too. And you are able to have victory in those areas as well. The power of the Holy Spirit will fill you and give you that satisfaction in the Lord. And you won't look into this realm that God created, sex, to be in a pure sense, not in a perverted sense. I hope we high school and middle age. I'm sure somebody's talking about this. If not, you're getting it from a bad source. And I just want to be faithful and just tell you the truth. Maybe you haven't been exposed to that. Praise the Lord. It is ruining lives. I personally, I was exposed to pornography at 5 years old without the internet. It's sad. That was in my house because Jesus wasn't there. But here, look here, don't miss this, very important. Maybe you're paralyzed not by these things, but maybe you're paralyzed by your past. What somebody did to you. How somebody talks about you. Maybe a decision or a choice that you made in the past. Yes, maybe you've come to the Lord and said, Lord, change me. I surrender my life to you. But you know what? This past keeps haunting me. I want to tell you today, if you come to Jesus with that, he'll lift that burden from your heart as well. Look here, as we look at this here, let me read something to you from who? Tozer. Right of Revival. He says this. He says, don't let any of the things of the world or the past mistakes paralyze you. I believe there are Christians who are allowing some of their past mistakes to paralyze them. You were so bright and cheerful in your spiritual life once, and then you made some tragic mistake or had something happen to you. You go out of it sometimes or somehow and prayed and wept your way out of it, but it did something to you. And now you can't kick it. Past wrongs that have been done to you, past failures, times you thought you were going to win and did not, like that basketball game. Some people know that. I'm sorry. Or present sins or discouragement. These things are not mental at all. They are deeper than that. They are subconscious, and they prevent us from believing. I most urgently exhort you, and I trust God Almighty to deliver you, to throw that out of your spirit, to throw that out of your heart, so you are not hindered by unbelief. That's just an exhortation to you. Whatever it is, lay it at his feet. Watch him wash you. And you walk with him in the grace and understand, the Bible says you can cast every care of yours upon him, for he cares for you. So often we're thinking, oh God, he's coming with the sledgehammer. No. He loves you. He wants to set you free. And here, as we look at this here, notice it says, he tells him, get up. Take up, verse 11, your bed and go to your house. Notice what's happening here. I believe it's showing us a picture of what we should be doing if we're paralyzed. But I also believe it's showing us a picture how when we bring people to Jesus, we should encourage them, hey, get up. You know, don't be down. Get up out the situation. You're paralyzed. Get up. Oh, no, but I can't. No, no, no. It's not time for excuses. It's time to act. And so get up. Remember that Jesus got up out of the grave. And so I can get up in that power. And not only that, but take up. I think that this is showing us, hey, you know what? When you take up your bed, roll up, that means that there's space for somebody else to get in that spot. Because you don't need to come back there. Because look, you've been given the victory. And here, notice here, not only that, but notice here, he says, look, go to your house. Go to your house. Go back to your neighborhoods. Go back to your community. Look, hey, we're wrapping up on this thing. Think about this. If we all took heed to these things that we have heard this week. You know, this guy went into a house, what? Paralyzed. But he's leaving the house a different way. Whole and out the door. And this is the encouragement as we look at this here. He says, look, this is what he does. When he tells him, hey, get up, take up and go. He says, immediately he arose, took up his bed and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Isn't that such a reality? Look here, notice, he got up and responded to the word of God immediately. Don't say, oh yeah, you know what, when I get back to school, I'm going to start. No, 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 wherever you are, whatever activities you're part of, look, think about that paralyzed individual that you wrote down. You know, think about your own paralyzed situation and you get to it immediately. Hey, you know what, I'm getting up, not next week, I'm getting up now. Because God has commissioned me to get up. He didn't tell me, oh, roll around in a thing a little bit longer. You know, or when she stops, then I'll stop. Or when he stops, then I'll stop. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Look here, understand this. Get up out of it immediately. Be ruthless with the thing. And here, notice here, look. He took the advice to get up, take up, and go out. And look what happens when he went into the presence of them all. It said they were amazed. Your life, our lives, can really wow people if we would begin to just walk in that faith, applying the things that we hear, the things that we know as the right things. Hey, as we spend time with the Lord and He speaks to us and He stirs us, hey, you know what, God? I don't just want to know these things. Lord, put me out there. You know, I want to tell you a story that happened recently in our church, you know. There was a lady that had, well, rewind a little bit. There was a girl, another lady that started coming to our fellowship about 2-3 years ago. Received the Lord and started walking and doing well. And her best friend was a Jehovah's Witness. And later on, you know, she invited her to the church. And this lady, you know, when we were at the garage, the best friend would sit at the very, very last door by the door of the exit. Like, you know, in that church, when you walked in the door, you were in the sanctuary. Like, it was no fellowship hall, no nothing. It was just walk in, you there, right? So she would sit at that very door by the exit. If you know, Jehovah's Witnesses are not supposed to be in the church. And so she would, as soon as the message was over, she'd shoot out the door and gone. And that young lady has now become a part of our fellowship, regularly attending and growing, and she's not hitting the door right away. But then there was the first lady's sister that started coming. Now, you know, we're not into, you know, every week cast out demons and all that stuff. We don't do all that, you know. But there's something that happened. This young lady was demon possessed. And you're saying, oh, here we going now. Where are we going? Look here. You know, you can believe that here, or you can read stories about it. But I'm telling you, there's people that are literally demon possessed. You know, maybe you try to suppress it through some kind of drug or something like that. But there are literally people that are demon possessed. And here we look. Hey, you know what? I never had to deal with something like this firsthand, like, you know, just forefront. But it was an encouragement to see not the pastor saying, hey, here the pastor Superman cape to the rescue. No, but the beauty of it was the ladies were dealing with this situation. And you know what happened with this lady's life? Not only did we see that the demon was departed from her, but I tell you what, she's gotten baptized. She's walking in the Spirit. God is moving in her life. Her kids are just radically just changed. They're different. Like, I don't know how to explain it. It was a God thing. But I tell you what. Don't get caught up in the situation. But we continue to bring her as a body to Jesus. And look what happened. A family, a community together, just pointing her to Christ. And we've seen God transform her life in a miraculous way. And I know it's a God thing. And so I want to encourage you. Look, hey, there's some people out here. You know what? All kinds of walks of life. In your sphere of influence, make an impact. Walk in faith. You don't have to have all the answers, but walk in faith and obedience as the Spirit of God leads you. Father, we thank you for your living word. And we pray, Lord, people, Lord, for your church, we'd be awakened by the Spirit. Have your way, Lord God. We pray, Lord, we would walk in faith in the simple and the most difficult situations, knowing and trusting, Lord, that you are with us. Lord, if we just hide our lives in you and be attentive to the Spirit, you'll lead us how to continue to go about making disciples. Lord, give us eyes beyond our own circumstances. Have your way in us, Lord, as your servants, as your disciples, that we may go and proclaim and share the love of Christ with others. We thank you for what you've done in our hearts, the things you've spoken, the things you've stirred, the things that stuck to us, Lord God, the things that we took away. We pray now that you would work them out in our hearts and through our lives. May our feet take action to the things you've called us to. Go before our days. Use us to encourage one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.